And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to Man Up with Perry Crimmins and Carl Pott. We've lost Ted to the Jake banquet that's going on tonight, and which is, and we'll explain that in a few minutes, but good morning, or good evening, Perry.
Absolutely. Good evening, and the good to be inside on this blustery evening.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, good evening to you. You were with me this morning.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Yeah, so we do man our shows up in the morning, and then we do our shows at night. Yeah, man up. Ted's... You know, of course, Ted has been involved with the Jakes, and the Jakes program is for kids, I think it's 12 to 15 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, they try to go
around there.
Yeah, they try to go 12 to 15, you know, bigger kids so they can actually handle a weapon and, you know, have better success.
Yeah, and they sign up for it, and they're assigned a mentor or a hunt leader. So the hunter, the hunt leader, and a parent goes out, or a guardian, goes out for the week before turkey season starts. And so this year I think they had, what, 18, 16?
I think they started with 18 or something.
And some dropped out.
A couple bowed out, which was crazy that, you know, because there's no, you know, it's a hard program to get into. You know, there's a waiting list usually.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's always more kids out there than we can take care of. And the and I think their success rate was something close to 50%.
They ended up with 5 or 6 birds.
Oh, okay. I thought there were more than that.
And there might have been after Sunday. I didn't get the count on Sunday.
I think. Anyway, they hunt the Saturday and Sunday before the season starts. On property owners will allow them to come on. Some property owners will allow them to come on and hunt, but won't allow anybody else. But they're fine with the kids. So the young person, because it's male or female, and both have won. Largest turkey, longest beard, what else?
Yeah, and they have a calling contest for
calling,
the kids.
Yeah. But the kids get a day out at the Red and Gun Club where they, you know, they shoot 25 rounds, you know, in trap. Then they pattern their shotguns. Then they get a class on the birds, on turkey biology. They get a class on calling and a class on blind etiquette. And then they have a barbecue afterwards. And then the following Saturday, they all go out and hunt. And if they don't get anything Saturday, they go out Sunday.
Yeah.
So anyway, then there's an awards banquet tonight where every one of the hunters goes home with something cool.
Most with some type of weapon.
Well, they all go home with a rifle or a shotgun.
Yeah.
And and then they have other things there, and and people like Mossberg donated a couple guns. Stout Foundation, Karen Stout Memorial Foundation, every year donates a lot of money to be able to help support the Jake's program. And this Jake's program was designated as the best in the nation several years ago, and Ted went back there for the...
Yeah, got an award at the National Convention in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, National Wild Turkey Federation. Federation or Foundation?
Foundation.
And Ted got an award for that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where Ted is, and that's where Perry was going to go.
Yeah.
But then we'll run, as soon as the show's over, run out there.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
is it this time?
It's at the Anderson Vets Hall.
Oh, Anderson Vets Hall. Oh, okay. That's just right down the road.
Yeah, it's not bad. But, you know, the thing is, it's for the kids, you know, and it's, you know, we really have to get the kids nowadays involved in outdoors, because there's so many distractions growing up nowadays. It's not like when we grew up where, you know, you came home and your mom said, no, you can't go outside until you finish your homework and your chores.
Uh-huh.
And we worked our butt off to finish our homework and our chores so we could go outside.
Yeah.
Now kids just want to go inside
screens.
And jump on their computer or whatever.
Look at their screens.
Oh, yeah, screen time's incredibly.
And then in the summer, you know, you'd get ready to go out with your friends, and mom would say, be home by dark.
Yeah.
And so you'd go look at, you know, okay, so that left you out there for 8 or 9 hours that you all managed to live through and, you know, jumping your bikes down into the ravines and over jumps you had and see what else. It just, yeah. I know what you could do for 9 hours, but you found things to do.
Yeah, and you got a skinned up knee and you just, oh my gosh, you went on.
Yeah,
did you wear a helmet? Should you have? Yes, but did you? No.
We didn't even know about wearing helmets back then.
Yeah, there was no safety gear.
That was for motorcycle policemen that had helmets.
Yeah, the safety gear was our Converse tennis shoes.
Yeah, that was it. And getting your foot caught in the spokes. Oh,
ooh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What else did we do that was, I broke my front bottom tooth on a soapbox racer.
Oh, geez.
We built, and we're heading down a hill. And of course, I mean, there's no brakes in those things. And I slammed into something.
And got your ejection seat working.
Oh, gosh. It broke it off in half, and they pulled it. I was young enough, and they pulled it. It just closed in together.
Oh.
You can't tell I'm missing it. And, you know,
after you got your real teeth, huh?
Yeah, that was after I got my real teeth.
Yeah, not your baby teeth.
Yeah, not the baby teeth, what made any difference. But, yeah, those, you know, you think about it. You know, we were talking about, remember when your parents would be driving that old coupe and you'd be up in the back seat in the rear window of
looking away.
Yeah, and you're laying there like you're, you know, looking out. You could do that back then.
Yeah, making faces at the cars behind you or whatever.
Yeah.
Getting the semis to toot their horn and that type of stuff.
Of course. You know? And then your seatbelt was your mom reaching over and grabbing your chest, putting her hand on your chest when she's trying to stop the car. It keeps you from losing your teeth on the dashboard.
There's probably a pile of kids listening to us right now. There's actually there's probably a pile of parents that are in that age these young kids that don't even know what we're talking about either.
Don't even know. You know, like David is having to buy. Okay, tell David is having to buy a new vehicle, and tell us why.
Okay, so I got a little Chevy Colorado.
It's a truck. It's sitting.
It's a little mini truck.
It's
it's a little mini guy. And anyways, it does not fit in the extended cab.
His car seat. Yeah, the car seat doesn't fit
in the back seat. You can't have a passenger and a car seat.
Oh my.
Yeah,
so you have to buy a whole new car. Which that's, you know, safety for your child is most important, but, it, you know, how necessary is that, right?
Yeah, and, you know, of course, I'm selling the Red Rover, the F-150, but not to David. And
With the child seat?
I'll throw in the child seat, and I'm selling this one.
You can probably get a deal on one from David.
You know what I found out was I can't find the title to that truck. I've only had it 19 years, right?
Oh.
And I can't find the title. So I applied for the other title, and then they said, well, you got to get your truck smogged.
Oh, geez.
Okay. Well, no, I went down there, passed without a problem.
Go to A1?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good there.
They're pretty good there. But, you know, I mean, it's every year I take it in there because it's, you know, they always want you, oh, you got to have it smogged. Fine. It passes. So I'm going to put that up on probably Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or something.
Yeah.
You know, call me tomorrow morning, and then I'm going to give you the rock bottom price. Otherwise, it goes up $2,000 as soon as it goes on there.
Yeah, kidding. Well, you know.
So I got 130,000 miles on it.
You know, as much as they're having these, I guess they called it the truck crash because they had so much.
Yeah.
It was so hard to get trucks during the silly pandemic thing or whatever it was. And then now all of a sudden they got all sorts of inventory. Nobody has any money to buy it, right?
Well, I went down, you know, because I was just casually looking, you know. So I went down to Crown Motors. We like those guys, Steve and all the gang. And just looking at, I said, well, I'm looking for, you know, used trucks. Oh, we don't have any. Those do not stay on the lot. And they showed us new trucks. I mean, they're nice. We drove one. It was I was looking for a 3/4 ton. Boy, I tell you what, you get on the freeway and that son of a gun just blows out of there.
Yeah.
And then, I said, okay, thank you. Cause, you know, prices are like $70,000 and all this. I have a problem spending that much money.
Yeah, that's
half. Oh my gosh,
that's like half of what our house cost when we bought it here.
Yeah. I bought my first house for $40,000.
Right?
Yeah.
$40,000. Yeah. And when I sold it.
You can get a backyard shed for that now.
Okay. And this was down in Oceanside, California.
Oh, man.
And from our backyard, you had, you know, on a clear day, you could see the ocean. I mean, it wasn't like right there, but it was out there. And sold it because, I got orders. Sold it like a year and a half later. And made $5,000 and thought I was the richest guy in the world. What am I going to do with all this money?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But back then.
Yeah, I remember my grandparents.
A few decades ago.
Well, you know, I was born in San Francisco and lived there for just six years of my life. But I remember my grandparents telling me that they paid $12,000 for the house they lived in San Francisco. Yeah. And then, you know, years ago you hear that they're going for $1 million, you know.
Well,
and I'm like, how does that work, you know?
Well, we got to take a break here, but I was just seeing something the other day where it was like they paid this much for a car, but then the average salary was like $6,000 a year. And this was like back in the 60s or 70s. It wasn't a lot of money, and things were a lot less expensive.
It's definitely bigger, and I don't know about better, but it's certainly bigger now.
Certainly bigger and more expensive. All right, I'm here with Perry Crummins and for Man Up, and we're going to take a quick break and be back in a little bit.
Save 20 to 30% off all plants at Turtle Bay's 33rd Annual Spring Plant Sale, featuring heirloom vegetables, hard-to-find perennials, shrubs, California natives, and more. The nursery specializes in drought-tolerant plants that thrive in Redding's climate. The members-only sale will take place on Friday, April 4th, 4 to 7 p.m., and the public sale will be held on Saturday, April 5th, 9 to 3 p.m. at 1100 Arboretum Drive. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco & Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Henry Clay Warhawk Rebellious. Backed by popular demand, this limited edition Toro is sure to please. Another fine example of Nicaraguan tobacco blended by AJ Fernandez. Complex, smooth, chocolatey Habano wrapper, a satisfying smoke with a clean finish. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Miss the show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Hey, welcome back to Man Up with Perry Crimmins and Carl Bott. Good evening, everybody. 6:19 in the evening here on the 27th of March, 2025. David's here with us. We're not drinking tonight, which is okay. I was trying to cut Perry back.
Well, I probably would have to decline because I actually yesterday had a tooth pulled. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. Not that the alcohol wouldn't clean it out.
Yeah,
but,
some people theorize that that would be good for it.
I thought I saw where somebody I know got three teeth pulled yesterday. Three. Why would you get three teeth pulled?
Yeah, you know, what was amazing to me is the way they do it. They just grab on and start tugging. You know, there's no cutting or anything. It's like, you know, let's loosen this thing out of your jaw.
Yeah, I mean, they do give you a shot so you're not feeling it, but he's lifting you off the chair.
Yeah,
trying
exactly.
to get it out.
So your mind is feeling it, that it should be hurting, but it's not.
Yeah. Hey, turkey season opens Saturday.
It does.
Two days.
Another wonderful spring, and it's supposed to be nice Saturday,
it is.
Take advantage. If you're going to hunt turkey, you better do it Saturday because we got another wind and rainstorm coming rolling in on Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
And for the whole week, it looks like.
Yeah. And you know what? We were just talking about it. Rain's not too bad, but if the wind's blowing, turkeys are huddled together someplace you'll never find.
Yeah.
But Saturday could be good. Get out there early and get yourself planted in out there at Tierra Oaks.
Terry Oaks. Yeah,
and,
there you go.
I go at Terry Oaks. They've got them everywhere. So I just get at, you know, a friend's place. I sit in a little chair, and I shoot across their swimming pool when they're settled on their fence.
There you go.
And I just, you know, you just knock one off there. And I'll shoot two and give them one.
Yeah, and the only problem I have with, like, Terra Oaks and communities like that is once I shoot a turkey, I have to really take extra time and collect all the feathers so nobody knows they were there.
That's right. You know, and then you have to sneak around, you know. But if you shoot early, you know what? Here's the secret. You get there right at daylight. They're all asleep.
Shoot and run.
You shoot, pick it up, and get out of it. You can only shoot once because they might wake up and go, what was that?
Yeah.
What was that, dear? I don't know. What, did you hear it again? Oh no. Okay, go back to sleep. And then by that time, you're hot footing it down the street into your truck, with masked license plates, throw it in the back and take off.
Yeah.
And, or you could run, you know, I guess you could be out there like on the 18th hole and just wait.
Yeah, the only, as illegal as that is,
it is terribly illegal. You know, we're just kidding.
And opinions on KCNR.
We're just kidding. We've been
this is our disclaimer, like on The View, right?
But
the only person that would be happy that you were shooting them on the golf course is the people that own the golf course.
Oh,
they leave it a wreck.
Oh, yeah, they do. So you're going, you and Ted are going this weekend.
You know what? We'll go. Ted's actually training in Davis this weekend.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go out with some fellas and, probably look for turkeys and pigs. And we call it the, Shasta County double.
The double.
Pig and a turkey.
Pig and a turkey.
Yeah. And, then, Ted and
neither are they guaranteed.
Yeah, neither. And that's depending on the weather and can we cross creeks and that kind of dangerous stuff. But, you know,
all the rain, it makes it a little bit. You and I, maybe it was Ted and I crossed one of those streams down there. The water was coming into the floorboard.
Oh, yeah.
And,
your feet.
And it was like.
Yeah, you wear rubber boots for the ride, not for the walking. But we'll come back. Ted gets back into town on Sunday evening. We have a few fellows coming in from out of town to hunt next week. In fact, the Mossberg guys that donated some weapons for us, they're coming in. And then on Thursday night, we turn around and fly back east and hunt South Carolina, Georgia, Louisiana, and Mississippi.
Now, you both are trying to get one in each state, right?
We're trying to get one in every state where turkeys are available.
Except Alaska, because they're not available in Alaska.
Yep, they call it the Super Slam, which is 49 states.
49 states. Now, you could throw one in the back of the truck or, you know, in the back seat, take it up there.
Yeah.
And shoot it on the other side of the Alaska state line, but it's not the same.
No. And they actually, NWTF, of course, as a conservation group, attempted turkeys in Alaska.
Did they?
And they just didn't survive.
Winners? Just too bad, huh?
Or
so many
winners,
predators.
No food.
Yeah.
Might have been predators, but I think that they didn't really put the diligence towards it because there's probably some southern communities in Alaska house them. Yeah.
Yeah, there are. You know, like around Homer, Alaska, that's almost, you know, they call it the Sun Belt there.
Yeah.
And they don't have the type of winters lots of Alaska get. So it seems like it might be able to, but then how limited a range would that be?
Yeah, also? Exactly. Yeah. It'd be like trying to the latest turd in a punch bowl is Nevada, so it'd be like trying to hunt turkeys in Nevada because they're just it's not really a turkey state. It's high desert.
Yeah,
and it's mostly where the turkeys are on private property, and it's really starting to become a problem with people wanting to do this for, you know, North American 49.
Yeah.
There's just not enough turkeys to go around in the state of Nevada.
I don't think I've ever I've seen wild horses, I've seen wild burros, I've seen almost, you know, I've seen mountain sheep.
Yeah.
I've seen all that stuff, but I've never seen a turkey.
Yeah,
there.
Where they are, they're pretty prolific, but it's pretty easy if you're going to, say, one landowner, they're all landowner tags. That, and there's several refuges that, you know, it takes like 5, 10, 12 points, whatever, to draw them, right?
Yeah.
So the landowner tags, they give them 10 tags on a piece of
property. But you all have already got your Nevada turkey,
we did.
Don't you?
Yeah, we went early when it wasn't quite this
crazy
harsh.
Yeah.
And I got mine, and then the next season, Ted went and got his.
Yeah. Well, now, how many states you got left?
A lot. Probably, yeah, a little more than half. So
okay.
After this spring, I
Ted's got a lot, doesn't he? Didn't he have a lot?
We're about the same. Yeah, we're about
it's
pretty close
25.
To the same, yeah. 22, 23, something like that. So we're about
okay.
Halfway.
So we're having, you've gotten in Hawaii.
Yep.
You know that.
Yep. So the West is pretty much done.
Okay.
You know, all the way over to the Dakotas.
Right.
Central part of the states, I've got a few speckled, Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, and then the East Coast, the Eastern Seaboard is where we're really lacking.
Oh, well, Tennessee, have you been to Tennessee yet, and
yep,
North Carolina?
Yep, yep.
Those are good places.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. Paul, good evening.
Hello, guys. I'm just kind of curious about the interstate turkey trophy hunt. Are we seeing that we can do turkeys in Hawaii?
Yes, sir.
They got a lot of turkeys in Hawaii.
Yeah, on the big island, it's loaded. The volcano's loaded with turkeys.
Wow, I've never seen that. I've seen plenty of chickens.
Yeah, chickens.
Yeah, they got lots of chickens there, too.
Yeah, that's.
I told my wife we need to move over there and open a chicken stand.
There you go. Yeah,
but they already got them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good show tonight, guys. Sorry to bug you.
No, no. You're not. Thanks for the phone call, Paul.
All right. Appreciate it. Good night.
You bet. So, well, now. And then in the Northeast, like Maine and New Hampshire and all those places, I mean,
yeah.
people are probably surprised when if they find out how much of the land in New Hampshire and Maine and Delaware, there's places to hunt there.
Oh, yeah. It's even though they're small states,
yeah.
It's probably, I would say, 80%, you know, farmland or, you know, national park, national forest, that type of stuff. But mostly national forest where you can hunt, you know.
Right.
And they actually cater back there, believe it or not, to some of the states are less forgiving and more engaging than others, but they want the public to get out and experience the outdoors, whether it's hunting, hiking, fishing. I mean, you got the Appalachian Trail.
I've hiked the Appalachian Trail before, or at least about 20 miles of it. A couple of us went out there one time.
Yeah, and the Great Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
I've been there. But, yeah, they're smaller. Some of them you have to draw a turkey tag. You know, you have to plan ahead and be drawn
because
they're smart enough not to go shoot all of them, you know, harvest all of them. But it's a different type of hunting than here. You know, it's wet.
Yeah. Well, you know, California's had such a success story in turkeys.
They have.
And, you know, and when people see turkeys in town, and we were kidding about Tierra Oaks, I wasn't kidding about the fact there's a lot of turkeys there because people will send me photos of the turkeys, you know, in their front yard and all this. I've seen them downtown in front of banks pecking on the window. I mean, there are a lot of turkeys around here.
Yeah.
But they are not the ones you're hunting.
No,
can you eat those downtown turkeys?
You could, but I don't know how you're going to kill them if you hit them with your truck.
Yeah, I saw three Jakes about a month and a half ago, right here on Court and what is the street that comes in? Is that
Placer? Court and Placer or Court?
No, right here.
Oh, Tehama.
Tehama.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there at the corner. They're on
right
the
here.
Yeah, right. Two blocks away, and they were sitting there on the corner, and I'm like, what the heck? I actually took pictures of them. It was so crazy.
And so when they said, what's so hard about hunting turkeys? Because these are not the ones you're hunting.
Yeah.
You're hunting ones from up in the mountains. You're hunting rural birds, not urban birds.
Yeah.
And it is a totally different show.
Yeah.
It really is.
They act like turkeys are supposed to. And when they're biological, just like anything in the woods, you can't change their mind.
No, and when you and if you get a hen that spots you or thinks they spotted you and starts moving towards you, you might as well just pick up and leave.
Yeah.
Because once that hen gives that pop, 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 that's it. Everybody's up and gone.
They got those claws, those hooks, right?
The toms have the spurs that they fight with. Yeah. And they will cut you if you're not paying attention when you pick them up. I call it the upside down bicycle when you... They roll over on their back and they're spinning because you just shot them. And you got to be careful picking them up for sure.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break here. We come back. Let's talk about some other things going on. You know, I've been reading a whole lot about wolves up in Siskiyou County. And MODOC. So let's talk a little bit about that when we get back.
Wrong with the radio. She needs a carburetor, a set of plug wires.
Get ready to lasso your chance at free tickets to the
Red Bluff Roundup.
Tune in to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM Monday through Friday between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach during the Free Fire Radio Show for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Red Bluff Roundup. When you hear that iconic cattle clip,
hit 'em up, hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, raw hide. Cut 'em out, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, ride 'em in raw.
Call 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567 for your chance to qualify for our drawing coming up on April 11th at 8:10 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. So don't miss out on your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Red Bluff Roundup, courtesy of the Red Bluff Roundup, My Umbrella Marketing, and your friends here at KCNR.
I'm Dr. Lauren Strickland, and I'm honored to bring world-class breast cancer care right here to Reading at Valor Oncology. With expertise in advanced surgical techniques, including skin-sparing and nipple-sparing mastectomies, oncoplastic surgery, and hidden scar techniques, I focus on achieving the best possible medical and cosmetic outcomes for my patients. I also specialize in benign and malignant disorders of the breast and high-risk screening and genetic counseling, helping women to make informed decisions about their health. At Valor Oncology, you won't see a rotating door of doctors. You'll see the same expert team who truly knows your history and walks with you through every step of your journey. Your care is personal to us because we are part of this community just like you. If you or a loved one needs breast cancer treatment, ask your doctor to refer you to Valor Oncology because you deserve the best. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted and ready, focused on you.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hey, welcome back to Man Up with Terry Crimmins and Carl Bott. Ted Lighty's at the Jake Banquet tonight, giving out a bunch of guns to kids. Okay, that's not what I meant. What I meant is there's a raffle there, and the kids are 12 to 15, you know, have entered the raffle, if they win, the parents are the ones that fill out the paperwork and go down and pick them up.
You know? There you go. Yeah.
That's the way it's done. We were talking, we were coming back, we were just chit-chatting about wolves up here in Northern California that are all of a sudden starting to really have cause a problem to some ranchers up in Siskiyou County and Modoc County. And I just found out that Perry taught a class on wolves down at, what, Big Sacramento Show or something?
Yeah, at the sports show. It was, I thought, because the research I did, the information you can get is all from the environmentalists. And, of course, that's an emotional portrayal of the wolves.
That could be slanted a little bit.
Slanted a little bit. But, in all the research, what I found out is basically we're in for some wolf problems coming down the road. And it's not it's immediate already, but there's 9 packs in California now. The Siskiyou pack, the Lassen pack, Modoc. There's some in Plumas. There's actually wolves as far down as almost Bakersfield at the other end of the White Mountains. But they figure there's probably somewhere around, well, if you figure there's 9 packs, there's probably somewhere around 90 wolves in California already.
And, the thing is, once they learn, once the parents teach their cubs to take down a calf or a sheep, the cubs know it then.
So trying to
stop it once it starts hard, and people go, well, but the ranchers, farmers get paid for these animals. Well, no. Well, they're supposed to.
Yeah, but they ran out of money. So they do have a program, millions of dollars, by the way. If you can imagine, beef right now is pretty darn expensive.
Yeah, that if you lose a calf, that's $1,000 right there.
So, and here's the fallacy, is you think that these wolves are eating the calves. Well, they don't eat the calves because the mama's overprotective, right? So they go for the easy stuff, and what they do is they take these yearlings that are about, 500, 600 pounds, and they're single, and they run. So they separate them out, and those are the cows that they're killing.
And they start at their, and I don't mean to be too graphic, they start at their anus, and they pull them down, and then they eat them alive. So you've lost this 500-pound yearling.
Yeah.
And, the price of meat and everything. So, just figure it, and sometimes it's more. Now it's probably a lot more. But that's $1,000 right there on the hoof that the rancher lost.
Yeah.
And say they take it down, and there's a pack, and they eat on it for 2 days.
It's gone.
And then whatever's left there, the magpies, buzzards, other animals, coyotes, fox, and everything else comes in and finishes it off.
Yeah.
That way you can't, and so you're missing this calf. And so you're out looking for it, and you don't find it. You don't get paid for that.
Nope.
You got to prove that it was taken down by a predator.
Yeah, and you're actually, it's more like that 500-pound steer is worth about $2,500 right now.
Is it that much now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Between $2,000 and $2,500.
So you lose 7 of these, like this they're talking about right now. They've had 7 attacks up in Siskiyou County.
Yeah.
And that, and they've found them. They have found the calves or the steers that are down. And it's obviously clearly that they were taken down by wolves.
Yeah.
So now you have to get photos. Fish and Game has to come out. They've got to say, yes, it was. That's if you find it. And it is illegal in California to protect your property.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah.
If you shoot them, you're in trouble.
Yeah, even though they were federally delisted for other states, California is still abiding by the Endangered Species Act.
They're not endangered.
Yeah.
These aren't even natural wolves from California. These are imported either from Canada or Mexico.
Canadian gray wolf, yeah.
Canadian gray wolf who are bigger than our usual, than the ones that used to be here. And they are at the top of the predator chain.
Yeah, and wolves, so the Siskiyou herd pack that you're talking about is the whale back pack.
Uh-huh.
And they've already been established you know, cattle eaters.
Right.
That's their, they figure that the wolves in California probably as much as 60%, probably higher, of their diet is cattle.
Okay.
And it makes sense because
it does.
I mean, when they exterminated wolves in California in 1924, mind you, we had 4 million people in California.
Right.
What do we have now? 39 million people in California. And we have this, sprawl that goes all the way to the mountains. It's all farmland, cattle country. It goes right up to where the wolves have nowhere else to live.
Right.
And it's easy pickings for them. So it's recipe for disaster.
Well, just say this, that, I mean, the wolves are doing what wolves do.
Yeah.
And, you know, so people are saying, well, you've got to coexist. Well, I was telling Perry that there's, I've seen advertisements for there, and they're called range riders. And it's Oregon and Washington State and maybe Idaho and others. They'll hire somebody, state hires somebody, and you're out there.
And your tax dollars pay for it.
Yeah, tax dollars pay for it. But their job of these guys and girls is to be out in the wild and trying to identify where the wolf packs are or the bears and keeping space between them and the cattle herds. Yeah. You know, they've got permission to haze cattle down. You know, you're going to be telling the ranch, you're talking because you've got sat phones and all this. You're talking to Fish and Game. And you're putting spinners and other types of things out to try and discourage the animals from coming, you know, down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how well it works.
It works to an extent. You know, we have a ranch that we've done some stuff with up above there, and they lost 8 cows in the fall to the winter, and they have electric fences, they have flagging, and the state helps them set that up.
Yeah.
On your tax dollars as well.
Yeah, and so what you're doing is you're trying to keep the cattle in one area there so you can watch them. That's essentially is what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's
but it's hard to keep. I mean, you got to keep moving them because they're grazing.
Yeah,
and so you got to be moving the fences and everything. And that's not the that's not what the range rider does, but that's what the ranchers have to do.
And who? Where does the price go? It's just like
Yeah,
yeah, it's an extra tax on beef.
So then, is the alternative? What is the alternative to wipe them out? No, that's not the alternative. But if you've got animals, because once they start killing the beef, they're going to be teaching, as we said, they're going to be teaching their cubs, and this is good food here.
Well, if you want to know what's going to happen, look at bears and mountain lions right now. And the state of California, Fish and Wildlife, is actually right now trying to figure out how to harvest more bears because they have not got the quota since they took away hounds.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get that quota, they want to figure out how to harvest more than that. And so there's a problem with the population of bears, number one. And then mountain lions, there's a problem because obviously we've had some people that have been attacked by them. So they're even talking about, for mountain lions, which we haven't hunted, sport hunted in California since 1972, they're talking about possibly having a hound system released for tree and release is what they call it. And basically the intention there is just to make those predators afraid of humans.
You know? Okay, I could understand that.
I can see that too. Because there's nothing encroaches on them right now.
Well, you know this better than I do, but a mountain lion will take down what, a deer a week every 10 days or something?
It used to be a deer every 7 to 10 days.
Right.
So I think they had a statistic like 2 deer every 17 days.
Okay.
So what happens now, though, is
that's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, Mr. Mountain Lion or Mrs. Mountain Lion kills a deer on Tuesday, and, you know, they eat what they can. Then they bury it, and their intention, not bury it literally, but cover it up.
Yeah.
But their intention is to come back the next day and feed again, or maybe 2 days later and feed again. Well, when they come back, Mr. Bear or Mr. Wolf already ate what they had already harvested.
Yeah.
They got to harvest another one.
So you're increasing the deer kill.
Yeah.
And you've got bears that also have got a much better sense of smell than wolves and mountain lions. They can find fawns.
And a bigger belly.
And they can find fawns. And so, the other predators can't, but bear can. And so they're taking out the next generation at the same time because we have so many of them.
And sure, there's birds and all sorts of, carnivores that are going to eat the stuff. It's not going to go to waste for sure.
Oh no, it disappears.
Yeah, it just disappears. And then, we are humans. We have to admit we are at the top of the food chain. You know?
Yeah. Well, then the thing about, and then so now you're having more deer killed. Then you're having their habitat taken away more and more. And now you've got the mountain lions who are needing to kill more because of the number of bears. And we need to harvest the bears, but we can't because they're not as easy. You know, you can't chase them with a dog to at least, you know, find them and push them out there. Yeah. So, well. It's going to cause is an ecological disaster here. And with at some point, there's not going to be any more deer hunting.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be that many deer.
Yeah. And on the wolf thing, I had a great conversation with a wolf biologist here a few weeks ago. And, you know, he said it perfect. He says, we'll just have to coexist because if the wolves were going to be exterminated, it would have been done already with humans earlier. And if the wolves were going to eat everything, they've already would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's going to be coexistence, but you've got to find ways of coexisting.
You've got to manage to reasonable numbers, you know.
Yeah.
The way I see it, the way, wolves are dispersers. So when they get to a certain amount in a pack, the alpha males kick out the other males. They go find their own and make their own pack.
Yeah.
So they're dispersing. And, you know, the way they propagate with, you know, say they have six pups and four live, you know, even if three lived, probably by about, with those numbers and the way capacity works, by about 2027, 2028 at the latest, we'll have well over 1,000 wolves in California.
Yeah.
If there's no checks and balances.
All up in Northern California, probably. Well, are they coming down to Southern California?
No, they're all the way down in almost to Bakersfield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they have one pack that pack had 30 pups this year.
30 pups down in the Bakersfield area there.
Yeah, down south of the White Mountains.
30 pups.
In one pack.
Let's just say. Let me just say half of them live. That's 15 wolves. Other wolves in a year or two are going to be out propagating their own packs. Anyway.
If you ever want to know how capacity works, just look at how many pigs there are.
Oh, my gosh. And they don't have any natural enemies.
No.
Nothing's hunting them.
We've been trying to, you know, harvest all of them for how many years?
Of pigs. Well, yeah. I mean, but think of wolves that you can't.
Yeah, they can't
harvest them.
Yeah, they're predators themselves.
Yeah. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Last segment.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Redding Rodeo is back in Bucking on the River, May 14th through 17th, celebrating 77 years of nonstop rodeo action, world champion cowboys competing in the largest four-day rodeo in Northern California. Don't miss our 77th annual Redding Rodeo tradition. Get your tickets now only at reddingrodeo.com before they're gone. Redding Rodeo, where the West comes alive, May 14th through 17th.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. they would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Put your name at the top of his list and a statue of liberty started shaking.
Welcome back to Man Up. The fourth Thursday of every month, 27th of March, 6:50 in the evening. Tomorrow morning on Free Fire Radio, we're going to have Spark Club International in here and Carrying Heroes. I don't know. It's not going to be Carrying Heroes. It's Nation's Finest will join us tomorrow, along with Haven Humane. And yeah, so it'll be an interesting one. Yeah, Spark Club International's big dinner and fundraiser is going to be the 20th, I think.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about it, and you're listening to the ads, but $35,000 worth of gifts they're going to be giving, not giving away, but, drawings and all that.
And a worthy conservation and advocacy group to be involved in. So,
hey, we were talking about wolves and the damage they can do and how, coexistence. Nobody wants to wipe out the wolves. But you also got to find a way to protect people with livelihood.
I think they're pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I mean, hearing them out there and, seeing them. Somebody sent me a video and they said, are these wolves? And I looked at them going across the road, and I'm looking at them thinking, whoa, if those aren't wolves, those are hybrids. Yeah. And that's something else, is wolves and coyotes will breed with dogs, and you get that.
If they don't eat them, right?
If they don't eat them first, that's right. Deer, we were just talking about deer, and you had a fascinating statistic here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a study that Caltrans did on roadkill deer. Now, keep in mind, roadkill deer, does and bucks, and our general harvest in California is bucks only.
Yeah.
We do shoot does for some juniors and whatnot. But the statistics said that there's like three times the amount of deer ran over and killed.
Killed on the road.
On the road by cars. Or motorcycles, poor guy.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, than the harvest, the state harvest of deer.
Well, I believe that.
And by hunters, of course.
I just believe that because, we're up here in Northern California, but I'm heading out on 44 East, leaving Palo Cedro, and there is a dead deer in the ditch. 2 weeks later, there's another dead deer on the other side of the road heading east in the ditch. And I've talked to people that have hit deer in Shingletown and all this. We were coming back from Susanville on the motorcycle one time toward, it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and just where that sun is killing you. I mean, you're having to ride with your hand in front of your eyes because you were just blind even with sunglasses on.
And you're hoping nothing's in your
eyes. Well, Linda's hits me on the shoulder. She goes, right side, right side. Man, I'm just downshifting, and I'm looking. And it wasn't just one deer. There was like 12 of them.
Oh, yeah.
All on the side of the road. And we went by them like 10 miles an hour. And other bikes coming in behind us for, hitting the grips. But, no, that would have – you hit a deer on a bike, and your day is changed. Yeah. It's changed dramatically.
And you can actually – you can gauge your seasons – by the amount of deer you see on the highways here, because we have a migrating herd. Migrate down in the fall. So October, you're going to see a lot of deer migrating across our main highways. And then in November, you'll see a lot of them when they're already down because they're the bucks around rutting looking for does.
Yeah.
And then right now in March, the deer are kegged up getting ready to head up the mountain, and follow the feed up. So those are the two worst times to have road encounters with
deer. So just what I'm saying is be aware of this, and especially in the evenings, they move in the evenings, and if you're just focused on that white line, you can have a deer in the front seat with you.
Yeah, if you see something that looks like a reflection, you know, the brake's a really friendly thing.
Yeah, you see something, the eye's looking back at you, yeah, you might slow down on that. Yeah, I've had elk jump between me and the bike in front of me. Cow elk.
Yeah,
but we could see it. You know, it was during the day. I'm watching. I said, she's going to go. She's going to go. Yeah, she did.
Right. Ooh,
and
geez.
So, and I was doing another time riding up in Arizona heading toward Flagstaff, and I was just, it was night, and I was hitting about 75 because I wanted to get up to Flagstaff, and I saw that elk sign, elk crossing sign.
Oh.
Rode on for a little bit longer and thought, boy, yeah,
I would consider.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you slow down to 60, right? You hit an elk at 60, you're toast. But still, it
might
you
have
feel
a
like
chance
it.
To react.
Might have a chance to drop it on its side and slide underneath it or something. Okay, what are things going on with your? And you, of course, have Just for Hunting guide service and everything.
Yeah, so right now is still pretty heavy pig hunting.
Okay,
you know, and it's the time of year where everybody figures out what they're going to do for the fall. You know, get their draws and other states. You know, our California is not till June 2nd. June 2nd is the draw for California. Don't you know, mark that in your calendar. But you know, and then of course, you know, pigs are all year. You know, pigs are prolific around here. They're all year.
Feral animals.
Yeah, no one really cares about them, and they taste darn good. They're a lot of fun, and they taste darn good.
And when the farmers and ranchers found out that people will pay to hunt these pests that destroy their property, hey, we're more than happy to have you come out here.
Oh, heck yeah.
We'll just take a chunk of change from you.
Yeah, and then, of course, turkey season starts this Saturday for the general season. And runs till whatever the first weekend in May is.
Well, you know
what? I think it's the 3rd or 4th.
It goes from when?
From March, what is March 28th
till
May 3rd or 4th. Whatever that weekend
is. Oh, okay, got it. Okay, I was thinking.
Yeah.
You're okay.
So it's
I got
like
it.
6 weeks.
No, I was thinking of something else.
Okay. And that's for shotgun season.
Right.
They do have a bow and arrow season that goes till the middle of May.
The, you know, I haven't hunted turkeys in few years. I may go out this year.
Yeah, you're due.
I'm due. It's time to go out again, and I got a friend that's got, he says there's a lot of turkeys on his property. And, I'll go out there.
Yeah, and shoot me a message.
Now, when you take a turkey and it's just for you, you just breast it out right there?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're hunting turkeys and you want some recipe suggestions, go to justforhunting.com and shoot me an email at info@justforhunting.com. But I have this Cajun spice rice that I buy. It's like a Louisiana goulash or something.
Yeah.
And I'll add turkey cubes to it, you know, sear them, and then add it. It's really like 10 or 12 minutes and you're done.
Okay.
It's so good. My wife loves it. I'll take just the breasts, cook them on a barbecue or something as just a turkey log.
So you just breast them out.
Yeah, just breast them out.
And make sure you bring yourself a big black bag. You can put everything in so you're just not leaving it out there.
And I'll keep the legs and do like a crock pot stew with them or a crock pot tamale soup or something like that.
Yeah.
Or one of my favorites is, my wife's favorite is turkey jerky.
Turkey jerky.
Yeah. So it lasts a long time.
Somebody gave me some jerky from one of the places here in town. It was getting close to a year ago, and I was looking at it the other day. I chewed on it. I didn't get sick, so it's still good. Been a year.
As long as you have some saliva, it'll rehydrate.
Then he goes, "What are you eating?" I said, "I'm eating that jerky." She said, "You got that when you went squeak hunting last year. Luke gave it to you." And I went, "Yeah, I think it's still good." And I said, "Hey, I've been eating it for 2 days and haven't been sick, so I guess I'm okay."
You come across a guy that could eat anything, though.
Pretty much I have eaten almost everything.
Yeah.
Monkey brains.
What do you have here, this Palo Cedro thing?
Oh, okay, yeah. We were just on today, Palo Cedro, third annual Palo Cedro Frontier Day on April 12th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's free, but at 6 o'clock, they're starting the Silver Bridge Rodeo Company. They're having bulls and broncs out there on Bishop Quinn. All this is at Bishop Quinn.
Wow.
And it's going to be a great night. And Jeremy Ryan, and I'm telling you what, this guy is one hell of a singer. He's got a great band. He was on today, and I'm looking at him. I said, "I've seen you before." And we're going over a couple of places, and he opened for Danger Kitty one time. And this guy's good. Anyway, this is all free. Vendors, all types of stuff there, trade shows, barbecue competition. It does cost to see Bulls in Bronx. I think, but we're giving away tickets, in fact, for that. We'll be giving away all this week and next week.
And Backcountry Horsemen.
Backcountry Horsemen. We'll hit that. Yeah, Backcountry Horsemen, big rendezvous. And, well, we're out of time here, but they're having a big rendezvous down at the Rolling Hills. And mm-hmm. it's just a great bunch of events there. I couldn't believe everything they're going to be doing. So if you like horses and that kind of stuff and packing, there you are. Perry.
Well, hey.
Thanks a lot, buddy.